You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
I'm enjoying that I can still drink hot coffee, but its shelf life is going to happen soon. It's going to be like 85 in
is
the morning.
Is that 12th Gate coffee?
It's not. This is this is home coffee now.
Sponsored
there
by
12th Gate. Hey, it's a few episodes ago, but if you haven't had a chance, go back and listen to that 12th Gate.
Hunter Day.
Yeah, Hunter Day.
We can put the link in the bio for this one.
Fantastic adventure that him and his family are on with this coffee
From
company.
Walks to coffee.
Yes.
W-O-K-S to coffee.
Nice.
Yes, that's good. Anyway, so.
Known Legacy, thank you guys for checking us out. You can follow us on Facebook. We're on Instagram, YouTube, if you're there. We'd love to have comments. And man, if this is meaningful to you, share it.
Yeah.
And if you want to give a review, we'd love it. We'd appreciate it. It always helps with the algorithm and populating on some other stuff. And info@knownlegacy.org is a great place that you can email us and let us know your thoughts and ideas. And as always, you can get Bill's book,
More
Than You, at any time. And if you are auditory like me, you can listen to Bill read to you at night.
It was funny. When I was writing it, I was like, listen, I'm writing to guys. They don't read. I'm going to have to speak this thing out. I was like, well, I'm doing an audiobook. So.
It's kind of the impossible task right there is what you did.
It is. It is. There it is.
All right, gentlemen. So the conversation question that we're going to kick stuff off with today is this. That was a mouthful, by the way. So let's say your son's senior year in high school, and he's about to go off to college, and you get one movie night with him, and you have a movie theater, all the popcorn you want, just the two of you. Mm. What movie are you going to play for your son to kind of send him out into the world? Go.
Who's up?
You're up, because I got to think about this.
All right, I got one. Kyle. One. No. Go, Kyle.
I want to do it so nobody else takes it.
Okay.
Stand By Me.
Why Stand By Me? That's a great choice.
Because it is it's just an awesome coming of age movie. They're kids. They have no worries in the world, and you know, I'm not going to give the movie away if you haven't seen it. But at the end.
Lollipop, you know, lollipop, oh, lollipop,
great,
lollipop.
Great movie.
I always think of the blueberry scene with that one, with the blueberry pie eating scene.
Yes,
they all
then what happens?
Oh, then terrible. What happens? It's terrible.
That's a good one.
But it was a good movie. It was a really good movie.
So I would do, We Were Soldiers. And that one's Mel Gibson, and it's the first Air Cav. And they're kind of the first major battle in Vietnam. And it is a fantastic movie about, I think, leadership and just him and his sacrifice and his ability in the midst of the chaos to quiet, to be still, to understand what's going on, his love for his guys. I think it's a fantastic movie. And my dad actually went through boot camp with those guys.
Oh, wow.
But he knew how to type. So a general back at the base had commandeered him to be in his office the entire deployment. And so he never got out and never served.
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
And so I remember watching it with my dad. And halfway through, he's like, you know, I went through boot camp with those guys. I was like, shut up.
Wow.
And also the movie took on a whole nother level of like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, my mom walks in 5 minutes later just bawling her eyes out. You could have died. And, you know, it was great. It was a good movie. We Were Soldiers.
Wow.
We Were Soldiers.
So mine's not a movie. I'm sorry. I think because I want all the hours with my son as possible. The Band of Brothers series.
I knew you were going to go there.
You know I was going to go there.
I knew it. It's so good.
The Band of Brothers series just is because first thing, it's 10 hours.
Yes.
And it creates a lot of good conversation. We've actually seen it, so we're like, we've watched it together. But I'm like, if I could do it again, I would.
Well, and I love that, too, because it's the movie, there's flaws.
Yeah.
A lot of the key lead characters have flaws.
Yeah.
And how do you navigate those, and how do you stay away from those? And, fantastic. Good choice.
You know, so speaking of Band of Brothers and men who have lifted me up, we have our guest today is literally one of my heroes, Pastor Duke Herget, originally from upstate New York. Love this guy right there. How are you doing? Good morning, sir.
Well, Billy, I'd have to be twins to be better.
Billy!
Yeah, that's
me. I have
me.
Eternal life. My wife doesn't believe in divorce. I'm harvesting in my garden in March. I think I won, man.
You more than won. I love it. He used to always say, my wife doesn't believe in divorce, but I think she believes in homicide.
Yeah, still on the table.
Still on the table.
You know,
Billy Graham's wife.
It'll keep you on the straight and narrow when you know your wife is not opposed to homicide.
Exactly.
It'll keep you on the straight and narrow. That's good. That's good.
She's way smarter than her, though. She's got it.
So, Duke, what about you? If you could get your kids and grandkids together and watch one movie, what movie would you have them watch?
Well, this is certainly not an American classic, but just a year or so ago, I watched that movie, the brothers who make the movies out of Georgia did a thing called Show Me the Father. It's more of a halfway documentary, halfway. It's the greatest guy flick I've ever seen in my life. It just spawns conversation, and I watched it literally with all of my children and older grandchildren, and it's like a life changer. So I don't want to start out on the complete spiritual side, but I've probably only seen 10 movies in the last 50 years. So I mean, Lassie, Come Home, Old Yeller, Wild at Heart.
Wow.
I'm well versed in this.
I've never heard of Show Me the Father. I need to try and find that.
Yeah, it's literally a life-changing thing. Show Me the Father. It is absolutely fantastic, and it'll do everything you need to get done.
That's fantastic.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, I love the fact that
make you happy all at the same time.
We talk in hypotheticals, and Duke is like, well, last week I did this, and the movie I chose happened to be an amazing, life-changing movie. So catch up, boys.
Exactly. That's where I've been trying to catch up with him for my whole life, so it's all good. Well, I wanted to get you back on because – what's that?
So we did that just after I got out of traffic court for going 120 miles an hour. That's a joke. I'm just kidding.
It was 110.
It was 110. Exactly. Well, we are so glad to have you back on. And really, I mean, for those of you, you know, some of you guys might not have heard your story. So share a little bit about your story, because we could go in a million directions with you. And honestly, just having you on is a blessing. So share a little bit about yourself for those who are new to the podcast and kind of what they should expect from you. Which is maybe a scary expectation, but share it anyways.
Well, I'll try to leave the sick humor back in the past where it belongs with this. We got a mountain of it. But when I think of myself, I just think of the providence of God, the involvement of God in everyday lives of just regular people. My story starts out with an immigrant, Hungarian immigrant, coming from Hungary in 1903, found out he could make a lot more money making moonshine than he could selling vegetables in his farm. He became a moonshiner, raised his boys to be bootleggers, including my grandfather. When Prohibition ended, they went into the liquor business. He raised my dad in the liquor business. My dad raised me in the liquor business. So I was fourth generation liquor people, and I found out that I could go into the drug culture a lot sooner than I could
the
alcohol culture, and I became a drug dealer. So it's four generations, and Exodus tells us in the Ten Commandment chapter that God will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the fourth generation. Well, on my mama's side of the family, we had my grandma Mosier, my great grandma Mosier, who sorry about that. My great-grandma Mosier wrote in her old Schofield Study Bible as she was dying in 1962, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm old, I'm dying, I have no money, I have no health, I have no strength, I have nothing to give you, but in Jesus' name I have many grandsons. Please save one of my grandsons and call him to preach." She wrote that prayer in her Schofield Bible, May 6, 1962. She died in 64. 8 years after she died, God answered her prayer, saved me, and called me to preach. And so I think my life is a tribute to grace is greater than all of our sin. My life is an evidence of generational curse, yet the power of the gospel to break that curse. My daughter married a preacher. They've been in ministry for over 20 years, and her two oldest children are in Bible college now, working towards gospel ministry. So four generations of paganism, now three generations of gospel ministry. And so, you know, the lives of, or the prayers of grandparents and parents with wayward children, you know, we can't outrun God. We can't, even after we're gone, our prayers are not dead. And so I just look in the mirror, and I mean, I've had quite a run in ministry and planting church that planted seven other churches, and yes. traveling the country the last 15 years preaching missions conferences and prophecy conferences, mainly doing camps. It's been an incredible journey, but it really doesn't start with me. It starts with people who loved Jesus before me, prayed me into God's kingdom. And so now I'm the old guy. I had great mentors as a young man who stood by me and spoke truth into my life. And now it's my turn to be the mentor, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Duke, fantastic story. And again, there's a theme that kind of comes almost in every single one of our podcasts, and it's the power of a faithful woman, whether it be our wife or our grandmothers, and the impact that can have on the faith of the men and the generations to come. And so that's amazing. I love that. My question for you, if you would be willing to go back a little bit, because I think we find and we talk to guys that are today in situations where they're like, I know I need to change. I know I need to break from a routine, but I fear the cost is going to be too high. And I can imagine you as a drug dealer, you have your community, you have your buddies, and though it's a facade or a counterfeit community, it's still a community. And so how did you, when you finally came to know Jesus Christ, how did you navigate that, those relationships? Did you find tension in trying to maintain them, knowing that you had changed and you wanted them to change, but they were not willing to, like pearls before swines type stuff? Like, I would love to know just kind of your thoughts as you reflect back on that season of your life.
Well, coming out of that movement was dramatic. And cops followed me to church numerous times thinking it was church was a diversionary tactic for me. And, you know, it was fun and on the wild side. There's pleasure in sin, but the Bible says only for a season. And it catches up with you when strangers come up and want to buy drugs, and you can make a quick $20 or a slow 20 years in prison. A little bit of pressure involved in all of that. And so laughing on the outside, all the while crying on the inside. Who am I? Hippie things. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And the whole Vietnam thing and, you know, racial division in our country in those days. Martin Luther King, that was the day that I was wading through. Of course, there you got a pocket full of money and lots of people coming and going, but you realize it's shallow. You realize it's fake. It's all based on drugs, not based on these people don't really give a rip about me. I remember having a party at my house, and I must have spent $100 of food. That's like about $800 now. I mean, I just threw this party, all the booze and dope, and man, about 100 people showed up. It cleaned up the next morning. They stole half my records. I'm like,
what?
This is sick. And Holy Spirit was dealing with me. And it was a beautiful girl who invited me to church. And so, you know, it loses its luster after a while. Even if you got a pocket full of money, it doesn't fill the hole in your heart. And so so I get invited out to church. And this girl said, come to church. And I'm thinking, man, she's so good looking. I'll go to the dentist with you.
It's always a girl, man.
It's always a girl.
Always a girl.
The gospel and the Spirit of God in answering grandma's prayers, I'd say. Got hold of my heart, and God saved me, called me into ministry. And, you know, leaving that night I got saved, I flushed two bags of dope, just 2 ounces of dope down the toilet, bottle of Jack Daniels as a chaser down the toilet. My little brothers cried, give it to us, give it to us.
Yeah.
But I knew that world was done. I'd been there. I spent 4 years in that world from 69 to through 72. It's like, nah, I'm done. And my friends from the world came back and begged me to rejoin them.
Right.
But they actually wrote a song about me. My alias name was Arthur Schmalman from Sundance, Idaho. And the song was, "We are Schmalz Commandos, the ones who smoke the weed." And after that, it got rather pornographic, so I won't bring it up.
Thank you. Thank you.
But they literally, formally showed up at my house, got on their knees, and begged me to come back. I said, guys, I ain't coming back, but I said, many of you are going to come over on my side. And sure enough, many of my old friends came to Jesus. Nick Garrick,
praise
whose
Jesus.
Nickname was Roach. Roach got saved. He's in heaven right now. And I think everybody had a friend named Roach. He earned it fair and square.
Yeah,
the world, you know, having all that money and all that popularity, but you know, soon I was popular at church. You know, you just plug into church with all you got. And I was the first hippie saved there, and they didn't know what to do with me. I don't know if you've seen the Jesus Revolution movie.
Yes, yes.
I was like the hippie that went to a real conservative church, and half the people were afraid of me. The other half loved me up and sent me as a drug czar to visit all their relatives and friends and children who were fooling around in the drug culture. So I became the drug czar at Cook Road Baptist Church, went after those who were still bound by that lifestyle. And so, yeah, we had the privilege of seeing many people come to Jesus.
I am sorry. I was, as you were talking before, I was already in tears because I'm going through the story of like, whoa, why am I already emotional again? But just so you guys know in the story, there was a guy in Pastor Duke's church. His name was Al Tullison, and he led my father to Jesus. And that day led me to Jesus. And then six years later, Duke and me and my brother sat in the room when my mom got saved. And so he led my mom so his ministry is literally the impact of my life. And so I know that that's the glorious side. That's right. The beautiful side.
Right, right.
And for me, I'm like, praise the Lord. But I know that it wasn't easy. And so my question for you is that in those hardship moments, how did you keep going? Because I know that share some of your struggle from the beginning. Because, I mean, I know your whole story, but can you share a little bit about the struggle of, okay, I came to know the Lord, but it's hard.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of people who are believers that are like, this is just too difficult.
Right.
And they can't see the big picture. Now, we're looking back on your ministry and your impact. Can you share about those hardships and what caused you to keep going forward?
Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You just got tired of the old world. And, you know, when you're wasted and you're having these chats, you think you're so intelligent, you know, and then you can't remember what you were talking about. So you record it and you play it back the next day. It's just a bunch of silly nonsense. You just realize that's foolish. And then you meet Jesus, the champion of love, the conquering king, who stick it closer than a brother. And then, you know, I entered into church ready to jump in, get connected, and it was a great church. And so the power of new friendships and the joy in these new friendships that I never had in the world, I never did slip back into the world. I mean, I still kind of had that flair every now and then. I wanted to be cool. I have a sermon I preach called "There's None Cool, No, Not One."
I remember that one. I remember that sermon. So
the price we pay to be cool is rather foolish. But yeah, the early struggles, you know, when your whole world is, you know, including my brothers, my sister, we're all getting high and just living in the world. So church was my refuge. You know, I couldn't go home because everything of the world was waiting for me at home. I mean, yeah. I just church. I volunteered for everything, and people in the church adopted me in and just loved me unconditionally. And they could see the fire burning in my heart, and they adopted me. We used to use the term preacher boy. I was a preacher boy at Cook Road Baptist. And so I attribute to those early successes. There was a single mom in the church. She had three boys, and the boys were a little bit younger than me. But she took me in, and I like to use she mommed me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you'd understand what I'm saying. The girl who brought me to Christ dumped me, broke my heart, and just shattered my heart. Mm. And that really was a test for me. Do I love Jesus more than I love her? And my heart was literally broken. And there was probably a dozen times I wept in Mrs. Hager's arms. And she said, Duke, she said, don't follow your feelings. Just keep following Jesus. God has something better for you. And I loved her so much. It just almost angered me when she said that. God has something better. God has someone better for you. Someone that will build you up and not tear you down. Somebody that'll grow with you in Jesus and not drag you down. And of course, she was absolutely right. And literally, I wonder how would have I made it through without Mrs. Hager? But God put Janet Hager in my life, the right people in my life, and got me through those early trials.
What I love about your story is you talked about the phrase that you used is the church adopted you as their own. And I think, man, if there's a rally call that we could have in our communities and our churches today, is I fear that we've fallen into the trap of them over there and us over here,
yeah,
instead of saying, man, there are people in our culture that we look at and we can easily judge, but God is doing something radical within their hearts and in their minds. And if they were to show up on your church on a Sunday morning, would you be willing to adopt them into your community in such a way that they could find healing?
Yeah.
And that's a long journey. Healing, they would find deep community and care, that they would be mothered in the first pivotal moments of faith development. Duke, I know that you preach all the time and you're around and I listen to your podcast from time to time. If you were to sit down with a handful of pastors, and what would you encourage them? How would you encourage them to develop an adoption attitude within church rather than a judgmental attitude? And again, those, I get it, but that adoption attitude within the church, what would you encourage them?
Well, sir, I had never really thought of the term adoption, but that's a biblical term.
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's exactly what the people did to me. I trained some people in my church at Temple Baptist, today it's called Church at Newtown Road, to, if they really wanted to see God use them to build the church. And Billy, you remember Larry Radcliffe.
Absolutely.
And Bernard and some of the great men that were in our church. I just trained them that on Sunday morning, don't go to your friends. Look for somebody you don't know and go sit down, introduce yourself to them. And if they're new to the church, say, hey, I'd love to get to know you. Invite them into your home for dinner or take, back in those days, $25. Today it'd be $50. Take them out. Can I take you out for dinner after church? Can start dinner some night this week? And just get attached. My pastor called it attachment rather than just attraction. They've already gotten to the church for whatever reason. Now let attachment, let's adopt them in. And I'm telling you, when people get that kind of love and that kind of care, they come back. And so you can be strategic, just go up and say, hi, glad to have you here. And that's about 2% of what needs to be done. But if you give them your name and number and invite them out to your home for a meal, you got about 80% done, just like that. And who wouldn't feed somebody a meal in your home and just share your story with them and ask about them and just show your love and care for them?
Be curious.
Yeah.
It's so simple and it works.
And it's what Jesus did. I mean, how much of his mission and ministry was finding people and then saying, I'm going to have dinner at your place tonight.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
those conversations over in their space or in green space that they can just kind of share those stories and hear your stories and begin to let the Spirit make the connections to the puzzle pieces that have been floating around that they don't have answers to. And all of a sudden in this conversation over a hamburger or who cares, the Spirit does amazing things over food. That's why I think Jesus says, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, I'm work harder and maybe you can earn this. He's like, no, there's a gift in the meal. Enjoy the meal together.
It's the whole Mary Martha thing where
yes.
she chose the better part of just stop and hang out for a minute. You know?
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, we get the privilege to travel all over and literally all over the world. And I know you've had the privilege the same all over the country, all over the world. What would you say to if there were the collective amount of pastors in the world that are driving for more numbers and greater success, what would you speak into those pastors right now as most valuable? Because I'm seeing a massive shift from the last 20, 30 years in the church to what's valuable. What would you say is most valuable to those pastors if you could have them all in the room?
If any man seek after greatness, let him forget greatness and seek after truth, and he'll find both is what... The power is not in being clever. The power is not being on cutting edge. The power is being honest, truthful, loving. We want to skip the love part. We want to skip the sacrifice part. We just want to get into fruitfulness. Well, love and sacrifice and truth are the roots that produce the plant that produces the fruit. And so we're looking for shortcuts.
Yeah.
And you can get a crowd and not have a congregation. And so all the principles just go right back to the gospel. You know, mentioned about in the home. Jesus shows up at Peter's house. His mother-in-law gets healed, gets saved, and becomes a lifetime servant of Jesus. He's in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And then later, Lazarus gets raised from the dead. He goes home with Zacchaeus, and he repents and repays everybody fourfold. Just look at what happened when Jesus came to their house. Mm-hmm. We can bring Jesus to our house, or we can, even better, we can be the Jesus house and bring people to our house and serve them. And so I think we're looking for a quick fix. And if we go back to the roots of Scripture, this thing can be addition or it could be multiplication. And so I've been seeking for those shortcuts all through the years. I've been to all the conferences for 50 years and how to build and make it bigger and better and be on the cutting edge and all the technology. I'm not against the technology, and we switched our music to praise and worship 25, 30 years ago. Yep. And I'm not against any of that stuff, but it just can become a cheap substitute for right. what
counterfeit.
Really,
counterfeit.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
It's so good.
Yeah, I'm a little bit. I'm processing now to myself. So this is my sage, just so you know. So I'm just listening in, but I love it. So so what's next? Let's share a little bit about where you've been and what you've been doing, because I know you do a lot of prophecy stuff, but you also have your own podcast. Share a little bit about both of those, so that our listeners can start to connect with you. As we'll have a link for your information in our podcast.
Right.
But share a little bit about your podcast and your ministry that you do now. And honestly, I'm going to boast on you just for a minute. You know, this guy started his church in the basement of a bank, and worked for UPS. If I'm wrong, like, you know, correct me. I'm giving you reason to correct me. But I mean, so he started this on his own, and when I mean on his own, like Jesus was his sustainment. But he started this, and then built this church, and then handed it over, and then left. And then now travels and speaks. So if there's anybody that we have on that has authority, I want you to share a little bit about your story and what you do now. Because, man, if you're interested in having him at your church, or if you're interested in his ministry, please share some more about that in detail for us, please.
32 years I was founding and lead pastor at Temple Baptist Church at Newtown Road again today. I kept getting invitations to go and speak, and it was... felt it was unethical to go out and leave my flock to serve another flock and get a little bit of money for, you know, on top of my salary. I would go out once a year and do that, and I would turn down about 20 invitations. Mm. And I had such a great guy, Pastor Matt Eaches was my youth guy at the time. And he just had what it took. He understood his generation, I think, even more than I understood my generation. So I had the right guy. Place. And we did a little trial run, and we turned it over to Matt after 32 years being lead pastor. And I sort of went on the road. I remained there on the elder board temple for probably the next 10 years, just to kind of give a little bit of guidance when they needed it. I never offered do this, don't do that. But if when Matt would come to me alone, I'd share with him my thoughts. And he did probably 15, 20 times over those 10 years time. But I kind of went on the road instead of ministering to, you know, 700 people, you know, three times a week. I ministered to, you know, thousands of people, you know, in a conference type setting. Mm. And then COVID hit. I got invited to be on a podcast with Pastor John Westfall called According to John Unbridled. And I said, what's a podcast? So I went on with him, and I found out what that was. And it went, we kind of had a good chemistry, and then he invited me. I said that he proposed to me to be his permanent podcast partner, which I accepted. And about 6 weeks in, he said, you need to do your own podcast and co-host with him. So I started mine in October of 2020. I've been 4.5 years podcasting. I got almost 300 podcasts up on the past. Duke.podbean, podbean.com is my podcast. I lean hard on biblical prophecy And I do kind of like Duke Meister's greatest hits, like any rock and roll band would do with their greatest hits.
Of course.
And been on the road for 15 years, podcasting for 4.5 years. And I'm kind of, I don't promote myself much. I'm glad to go out. I've never turned any preachers down, but I'm hoping not to go out more than twice a week now.
That's awesome.
I love doing it, but I love my local church here in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Well, I would just say that what I love about your posture is, and again, I think this is something for young guys coming into the church, because we see these dynamic preachers that are going around to conferences all over the place, and there's a desire, I think, in the heart of some pastors to pursue that. And what I got from you, and I think it's such an important posture, is a posture of just abiding in Christ, and then just allowing Him to direct your steps rather than going out and pursuing it. So being open and available to it, and being responsive when He moves. But man, if He wants you to go out and hit the circuit, He's going to make that happen. You don't have to manufacture or astroturf that by getting all of these clickbait kind of things. Just be a guy who's in the posture, who's abiding in Christ, and let Him direct your steps as you move forward. I love that posture.
Yeah, I love it too. Well, no, I love sharing this, and obviously we're going to have you on again as we do.
Absolutely.
Occasionally. But any final thoughts before we jump into our Fast Five you'd want to share with our listeners?
Well, Billy, I remember giving you great counsel one morning when you were our youth pastor at our church. You came in drinking a $5 cup of Starbucks candy coffee. And Dr. Wallace and I rebuked you and talked to you about stewardship and said, just don't spend your $5 there. Come here and get a free cup of coffee. And I said, coffee, New York style. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Pay $5 a day, 6 days a week, because of that great counsel from Mr. Wallace and I. And you remember, Mr. Wallace would say, as we get older, we can't work harder. We got to work smarter.
Smarter.
Remember that?
Yeah. And he would always walk in every day. I remember this every day we'd walk in. And when I was working with Bob Wallace, who I love dearly, who is in heaven now, he would look at us in the beginning of the day with his little cheap coffee and go, what a day. What a day. I love it.
Duke, you'll be happy to know that Bill still carries around his own Stanley, and it's a full of coffee, and
drink
then he
from
drinks
my own
it
mug.
From a mug. And so the frugality of the church worker is set deep within.
It is in my spirit now. And I hate Starbucks to some degree because it's burnt coffee now. So
yes,
I'm getting cheaper and cheaper as I get older and older, and it's good. But yeah. I love it. You have been an impact in my life, and dare I say, we are the fruit of your ministry. I would say that Known Legacy is the fruit. There were three guys that impacted my life, and Pastor Duke is one of them who really, really discipled me in my whole journey. And so he showed me what it was to be a man of God, and I'm grateful to you. So that's why I love continuing to praise what you do, and I know it's for Jesus, and that's why I want to keep on praising it louder.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we are so thankful to have you on as we continue. And so with that vein, I would like to ask you the Fast Five questions. Are you ready for them?
I think I am.
Awesome. Who do you most admire and why?
Biblically, David's my man. He's so. I do a series on David podcast where I do it in first person. I am David. It's the favorite thing I've ever done. I worked harder at it. It's not my most listened to thing, but it made the Bible come alive for me, and some people love it. But David's my Bible guy in the world. I think my pastor, he brought me to Christ. He discipled me. He ordained me, stood by me, mentored me till I died. So he was never a famous guy, but he's famous in my heart.
That's love it.
Him to get the basics at my heart. So I'd have to go with David and my.
And your pastor. That's awesome. Awesome. Number two, where would you like to go for a vacation?
Whoa. I've been to Israel 4 times. My last trip got canceled because of COVID.
Mm.
But go to Jerusalem one more time.
It's awesome.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
What are you currently reading, the Bible and another book or another book? What are you currently reading?
Well, I'm reading Revelation. I'm going to finish it this afternoon. It'll be complete my 194th journey through the scriptures. I've been reading the Bible through once a month for about the last 8 years. And I don't have a lot of time to read other stuff. So I read six books a month. And I see something in the scriptures every day that I didn't see before. I missed it the first 193 times I went through, but I saw it today. So I'm a reader, that's all.
That's okay. It's benefited you.
I think so. I think if you have to choose, you're going to read something 192 times. That'd be a good thing.
That would be it. That'd be it. So, okay, what's a goal you have for this year?
To be faithful, to continue to grow, to be an Aaron or her holding up the arms of
that's awesome.
To my local church, and as ever, God spreads me sends me around the country to be a blessing.
That's awesome. Number five, what's the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
Well, my Uncle Bill taught me never eat the yellow snow.
That's good. That's good advice.
It's a solid way to end
coming
that.
Coming into spring, that's fantastic. That's
yes,
good. That's good.
Yes, that's really good. That's awesome. Well, we've had a blast having you on. We're so glad to have you on. We will put the link to Pastor Duke's podcast on our notes for this podcast. And man, any final thoughts, questions, responses, or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we call it a day?
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Yep.
Walk with Jesus closely. Everything else will fall into place.
I love it. You know,
great advice.
It's funny, when I was in Bible college, and I think I told you this on the phone even a couple days ago, that I called them up. So, you know, in Bible college, you get all lofty and you're like, I'm going to write my own expositional Bible later on. Yes. Like, whatever. And I remember I called him. I said, what do you believe in, trichotomy versus dichotomy? Like, I need to know, you know. And he goes, I'm going to tell you the best piece of advice I've ever been given. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's what he said.
Right.
And I'm like ready to write it down. I'm like, huh. And he goes, keep the main thing the main thing. That's what was that first. And that has changed my entire journey of these constant debates that people get into. And I'm like, keep the main thing the main. Okay, I'm not going to write back right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's helped me my whole life. So thank you for your impact in my life and the ministry. Thank you for being there to be faithful, to have a guy in your church who I eventually became my church, to lead my father to the Lord, to lead me to the Lord, to rescue my family in the name of Jesus. And it is a blessing. And so thank you. And I know that I'm just one of many stories that have been impacted by you. And so if you have a chance, man, share this with your friends.
Yes.
This will be a blessing to you and to them. Again, we will have the podcast, the Pastor Duke podcast on our notes. And it is a blessing, and I can't wait to have you on again. We love you.
God bless you, brother.
Love you guys.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.